Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Here's a text on the RamosLaw.com text line. Talk about people like not hearing actually what's being said, but I'll read it. So your son turns 18 and you're done giving him advice. LOL. Big Al never said he would force his kid, but would talk to him about it. Saying you're done advising a kid because they're 18 is ridiculous. Anthony, I didn't say that, my friend. You have communication with your children the rest of their lives. As a parent, you're always advocating for what the best thing is. The question is, like, what would you make them do or not make them do?
Make is a strong statement. I would certainly put it out there, like, man, look, this is 200. I mean, how many dumb things have we done at age 18, age 19? The decisions that you wish that you could take back at those ages. Look, man, there's a reason that, you know, they say that you can't rent a car if you're a guy until you're 25. You're just not fully there already.
People mature and grow at their own pace, and hopefully they make more good decisions than bad. And as a loving parent, you will always want the best for your kids. But again, I would make the argument, unless it's some sort of life-threatening circumstance or something where they could get physically harmed or injure their mental well-being, you gotta let your kids make their own mistakes.
That's a $200 million mistake.
That's a tough one. How big was the mistake Johnny Bolin made? Think about that for a second. That guy was in line to inherit the Broncos, $2.6 billion company. People make mistakes. Can't help them sometimes, unfortunately. But if you wanted, as a father, to make some advice like, son, the best thing for your financial future is to not put yourself at risk.
Best thing for me, son. Best thing for me, son, is for you to go over there and play in the NBA.
Why is it the best thing
for you? Do this for your dad. Do it for dad. I'd lean on him heavy like that. Why don't you do this for dad?
Oh, you're too funny. If you need me to do that,
then I'll do it for you.
You had your great life.
I'm like, $200 million. The shoe deals that these guys signed. Man. I think the shoe deal by themselves, I mean, the shoe deals, you know, supersede, in some of these guys' case, more than what they make on their contract.
I saw, you know, you think about the next steps and the Broncos and where they're going and how they're going to go. You know, at some point, it is scary. You got to put this $2.6 billion organization in the hands of like a 23-year-old person. 22, 23, something like that. You don't have to. You can go the free agent route over and over and over again. But you know, for the best long-term plan is to find a Patrick Mahomes. I mean, how long is Patrick Mahomes going to play in Kansas City? I mean, when do you see that slowing down?
I don't know.
I saw a great thing on the 2004 draft was awesome. It was the Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger draft. When they did not, the Mannings did not want to go. I forgot that Philip Rivers was drafted by the Giants. And Eli did not, and Archie really had a significant role in all of that.
We're not playing for you.
You know, did you ever find out why Eli didn't want to go to the Chargers?
I think it was the management philosophy on things and
what?
I don't remember specifically, but that they were a consistent underperformer in some kind of capacity.
It seemed personal.
Yeah.
And I just could not, and I don't know if anybody's really ever found out the specifics of why. But anyways, in that whole scenario, Ben Roethlisberger was kind of hung out to dry a little bit. the Giants liked Roethlisberger, but not as much as Eli. So they drafted Phillip Rivers so the Chargers would do a deal with them, but it wasn't set up ahead of time. There might have been some talk behind the scenes, but they were just drafting Phillip Rivers to take the chance that there would be a trade later on. It was a heck of a, what a deal.
Even though they said,
what
that
a deal.
We are not, there's a name on that list that is a guy that's serving time in prison right now, Kellen Winslow, number six.
But it was a great example of a draft where Phillip Rivers has had a Hall of Fame career with the Chargers. Eli Manning has had a Hall of Fame career with the Giants. Ben Roethlisberger has had a Hall of Fame career with the Steelers.
Number 11 in the draft.
It can happen. The 1983 draft is probably a little bit more famous, but look at that 2004 draft. It can happen. So, again, when it comes to a quarterback, figure out the guy that you like the most. But it's definitely possible there could be multiple guys who are really successful in the NFL, right?
You know what's crazy about that draft in 2004 is that the Oakland Raiders had the number two pick, and they took Robert Gallery.
Yeah, that was a bust for them. He played for a while, but he just never was like that guy, unfortunately.
No, I'm saying with all of those quarterbacks there, their quarterback at the time was Kerry Collins and Rich Gannon. And I think Rich Gannon got hurt. He was 39. He was 39 years old, and Kerry Collins was 32.
When we think about a Broncos quarterback,
do the right thing. Do the right thing. Draft a quarterback when you're supposed to. That's my new
there
philosophy.
You go. I couldn't agree.
Just
couldn't
do the
agree
right thing
more.
When you think your guy is getting a little long in the tooth, draft a guy. When you think that,
and don't mess around,
there's a guy that's really special, draft your guy.
And if you got to move up, move up,
draft your guy.
But exactly what they did with Tommy Maddox.
The last thing you should ever do, Maddox was a real mistake. It was a problem with Reeves and Elway. He was drafted in the 20s. He was only 20 years old. He was way too young coming out of UCLA. There was a horror show of red flags about Tommy Maddox. Had Tommy Maddox played one more year of college football, I think Tommy Maddox would have been a top 10 pick and would have had a great career in the NFL.
It was a first-round draft pick. It was a good decision to leave.
Yeah, it wasn't a good decision for the Broncos.
The wrong team drafted him. That's the only problem.
It was a bad decision by the Broncos.
Yeah, the wrong team drafted him.
He would have been better off being a little bit more patient.
What year was that, 92?
But this time around for the Broncos, if you want a quarterback, you got to get him. The end. And Mike Evans, it's finally dawning on Mike, which is great, finally. And it's dawning on other people, too. And I don't know how John Elway misses it this time around. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Pass ball picked off and the Broncos are running. A tremendous play picked off on the play by Ronaldo Hill. A safety coming up. Broke on the ball as soon as it left Rivers' hands. Almost a room service interception the way it worked out.
There you go. Welcome back, Ronaldo Hill. The Broncos' former safety is now their new defensive backs coach. That's cool. Starter for Josh McDaniels in 09 and 10, reading from Mike Kliss here. His views as a rising star in the coaching industry. Coach for the Dolphins and several colleges, including Pittsburgh. Way to go. That's awesome. I certainly remember Ronaldo Hill here as a player, and welcome back as a coach. Chris Cooper is interviewing for an assistant offensive line job. I think that would be amazing. Coop's just a great guy and has had his feet wet in coaching with the Dolphins, and I really, really hope that that comes to pass. And that, what a combination that would be on the offensive line with Mike Munchak and Chris Cooper. Ay, ay, ay. Yikes. There you go. I love that. So I'm liking this.
And maybe they're thinking
more and more.
Maybe the thinking there is that Mike Munchak may be interviewed for a head coaching job here soon. He could leave and Chris Cooper could be elevated to that position.
Perhaps. That would be fine too. In 30 minutes, you're going to have a chance to win a pair of Fleetwood Mac tickets on Thursday, January 31st at the Pepsi Center. All you have to do is pay attention, 4 o'clock trivia. In the next half hour, keep listening. Let's go out to Mario. Mario, you're on the Fan. Hi, Mario.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me. I love the show. As somebody who's been a lifelong Oilers Titans fan, excited about the hire for you guys. I think that's going to bring some good stuff to Broncos Nation. And, you know, in one way or another, he was a part of kind of seeing that, Big Al was talking earlier about drafting, building through the draft that quarterback. You know, Steve McNair sat behind Cody Carlton, I think it was, for a couple of years.
Mistake. That was a mistake.
What's your point or your question?
No, just it's more comment. You know, I think Munchak's going to do some good things. His O-line experience, you know, he worked alongside Bruce Matthews for so many years too, and I'd be curious to see if he can lure him over to help out with the line as well. But thinking that you guys are in good shape, and if you guys do draft a quarterback, you know, you'd like to see him sit for a couple years and groom. And
all right, thank you, Mario. I appreciate it.
Mario.
Mario's talking to us like I don't know. We're not on the Broncos, and you're not on the Titans or Oilers or wherever. That was an interesting call. And yes, I know Zach Bye's head is exploding right now because Mario said Broncos Nation, not Broncos Country. I'll try again. Mike, you're on the Fan. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Super.
So real quick, I just wanted to say, like, the show's awesome, but I think, well, I want to get back to D-Mac's point. Like, we had a chance at two quarterbacks this last draft at number 5 pick with Allen and Rosen, and we passed and took Chubb. We got the infamous Chubb, Chubb, Chubb screaming.
That's right.
So I just think it shows the inept, like...
Also, your other reference, Mike, your other reference is they could have come back to 32 and got Lamar Jackson. That was just sitting there.
That's another point. So yeah. I'm just defending D-Mac because you're dead on. We need a quarterback. Go get him. Yeah. We chose not to because we're inept. That's all I got,
man. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Mike.
Well, John Elway has already done interviews and basically said he has purged his sins, Alfred. He is Vance Joseph. I thought he was our guy. He's not. Case Keenum is a short-term fix. You need to do a better job. Don't make your mind up before you interview people. Gary Kubiak wants to bring all these guys. That's
Looked
not
like gonna, he made his not, mind up with Scangarello.
You don't think they had Gary Kubiak lined up. How many OCs did you want him to interview? I mean, what other candidates were out there?
I mean, it just felt like, hey, this was our guy. We're not going to interview nobody else.
Well, he definitely was
It felt like he had his mind made up on that one.
Okay. So you think they could have...
Do you believe that?
Sort of. I mean, they didn't bring anybody else in besides Kubiak and Scangarello. I see where you're going. There's not a lot to choose. Well, who knows? Maybe there was more to choose from. Are you unhappy with the hiring of Skinner?
No, I'm just pointing out that, you know, I think, you know, you have to be careful in your wording of who you intend to be and the principles that you tend to stick with because it doesn't feel like that's what just happened.
Who gets to pick the quarterback?
The offensive coordinator.
It should be Skaner, right?
Yep.
I mean, what's the point if not?
Rich should certainly pick the quarterback.
Yeah, he should. If his isn't the loudest voice in this process, well, why do you have him here? And I don't know. We'll see how that works out. I like how they're rolling, by the way.
Who?
The Broncos. Overall.
Oh, I just think that...
I'm highly encouraged.
I think that the
Hopefully
coaching
we can have a good draft this time.
I think the coaching staff is solid. And I think that it represents a level of proficiency that I'm comfortable with. The quarterback. Who's the quarterback?
Yeah, I think more and more people are getting on the same page, though, by the way. So,
meaning what?
Well, when I hear, you know, the tidal wave turning, like in our great morning show, I'm like, okay, something significant has happened here. So I just feel like, you know, it'll keep going in that direction.
But we just got to figure out who the quarterback is.
Yeah, that's right. And Skaner's going to have a big influence in that because theoretically, he's your offensive coordinator for the next 3 years. And then when Fangio steps away, he's your head coach. And that should be a 15-year plan right there. I mean, that is the best of all worlds. I will tell you this, though. If he doesn't work out, if Skaner's not the right guy, then move on quickly. You know, because there'll be other options out there. We don't know anything about this guy. He's never done this job before at the NFL level. But he has done it at the small college level. I mean, it is funny, Al, because he never called plays like in a big school. I mean, we're talking like Division II, Division III type of places.
Yeah, I think Doug Peterson's first time calling plays was actually in...
Well, probably high school.
No, in the NFL. In the NFL was with Philadelphia. Did you know that Andy Reid never lets his offensive coordinators call plays?
I did not know that.
Andy Reid, even when he has an offensive coordinator, calls plays. Like Eric Bieniemy, I think everybody knows that Andy is calling plays. Eric runs the meeting. Eric gets everybody caught up to speed. Eric holds everybody accountable on the offensive side. And then gets to the game day, and Andy Reid calls plays.
What can I tell you? I'm just feeling so much more positive about everything these days. It's
because of what?
Oh, they're just doing things so much differently. So much differently. And if it had been Gary Kubiak and Rick Dennison and Clint oh, my God. Ay. That would have been awful. Their change is happening in a much more positive way. This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
All right, one quick call here. We go to Tyler. By the way, good to hear from Mike Evans during the break. Mike is a big fan of what we're talking about here today, and I'm glad he's on board. I'm glad we're all seeing things the same way. What's going on, Tyler?
Hey, how are you doing? Can you hear me?
Can. What's going on?
Hey, I'm actually curious. What do you guys think of Nick Mullins? He seems like he has a good head on his shoulders. He has, you know, a solid seven games that suggests that he will be a starter in the NFL.
We have the third string quarterback already.
Yeah, what do you mean? For what? Like the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, I'm actually curious if that could be a viable option.
But we already have a third string quarterback on our team.
Why don't we bring
His name
Kyle
is Case Keenum?
Why don't we bring
Wait. Pay attention here. When the season started, okay, it was Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater, and who was the third string quarterback? Case Keenum, right? So we already have a third string quarterback as our starter. You want another one?
Chase Keenum.
Good old Chase Keenum.
Chase
Keenum. Not trying to throw low blows here, but
No, not at all.
I'm just letting you know.
We need
our guy to be the guy, no question about it. And I think that Nick Mullins played great last year in his first year as a player, as a starter. I thought he played great. But no, I want my guy. I want my guy to come in the draft. I want my guy. I want a guy I can grow with. I want to
grow old with.
I want this guy to be
take walks with
us for 15 years.
I do too. That's what I wanted last year too. But it's all right. It's all good.
So if you're asking me, do I want somebody else's player, no matter who it is, the answer is probably no, unless it's Josh Rosen. If we can trade for Josh Rosen, give them our number 10 pick, and get Josh Rosen here with the Denver Broncos, I'd be okay with that.
Mm. It's a possibility.
Right.
I think the Cardinals would be interested in that.
That's what I would take.
Tease the Cardinals. Let's think about this for a second.
So you would have got Bradley Chubb and Josh Rosen.
Oh.
From the same draft.
Sign me up. Love it. Done. But you'd have to ask yourself, if the Broncos were willing to do that, why wouldn't the Giants be willing to do that?
Because they may like Dwayne Haskins.
Maybe, yeah. You could be right. That means they would have to like Dwayne Haskins more than Josh Rosen.
But you know what's crazy about this business is that when you learn bad habits in pro football, DMAC, it may take 4 or 5 years to break those bad habits. So teams like to grab their quarterbacks and develop them because that's the philosophy that it's the only philosophy that they know. And me, this is for guys who play on the defensive side of the ball, I thought that because I played for three defensive coordinators when I was in Cincinnati. Dick LeBeau was my first defensive coordinator in the NFL. I had Ron Lynn and Larry Pecatello. Then I played for a defensive coordinator out in San Francisco, Pete Carroll. Then I played for Greg Robinson as a defensive coordinator here. So in my 9 years as an NFL player, I played for five different defensive coordinators, and their philosophies were all different. You should have some over a long career for a quarterback. After you've established yourself, it's okay to have three coordinators, because if you're playing great, then that means that four coordinators, that means that they're becoming head coaches. And the next guy comes in with a little bit different philosophy. But initially, that guy who got Tom Brady right was Charlie Weiss. You need the guy that's going to stick with your quarterback for the first 2, 3, 4 years of his NFL career. And then after that, if that guy is solid, if he's nails, if that guy can teach that guy the right way to approach football in years 1 through 3, call it 4, then whoever you bring in after that, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
But you need the initial guy to be great.
Read something today about leadership in a team. And I need your opinion on it. It's a little of a mind stretcher, but you've competed on the highest level. It's one thing to put things into theory. It's another thing to what the real deal is, and I want to run it through you next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
All right, you want to win a pair of tickets to go see Fleetwood Mac? Coming up on January 31st at Pepsi Center. If you were paying attention, we were talking about the Broncos doing a trade. Who did we suggest they perhaps do a trade with and for who? 303-713-1043. Good luck. I wish you the best. Alfred, I'm reading a book. It was suggested by me by a coach that I was like really respect, and it's been an influential thing in how he looks at developing a championship program. And I've just gone through the first chapter. The name of the book is Legacy, and it's a kind of a look at a sports team and all from a sort of a business perspective. You know, like the art of war, that sort of thing. So, are you familiar with the All Blacks?
The Australian...
New Zealand.
The New Zealand rugby team?
Yeah.
I went to see them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
So their rate of success is, it's mind-blowing. And so this author, James Kerr, went to just sort of investigate, well, how they do it, that sort of thing. And one of their mantras, and I want to know if you think this is true or not. Character is more important than talent.
No.
Now, of course, you've got to have people that you can't have a bunch of Boy Scouts out there. But their concept is that, first of all, their concept is that you should be humble in what you're doing. And that if one thing comes to another, if push comes to shove, character means more than talent. Of course you need great athletes. So you got to start there.
So we're assuming that all the athletes are great?
Yeah, all the athletes are great.
Well, then give me the one with the highest character.
That matters. But when you say everybody in the NFL is great?
What does that mean?
If you make it to the NFL, aren't you a great football player?
Yes. For the most part, yes.
For the most part?
Yeah.
Can you name me a guy in the NFL who wasn't a great football player?
Oh, there are a lot of guys who make it 1 year.
I didn't say they were great NFL players, but a great player.
I don't know what that means then.
You were exceptional in high school and college.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I just can't imagine anybody in the NFL who wasn't exceptional in high school or college, and if they didn't play a lot, like a, what's our guy here, tight end guy, Julius Thomas. But he did play 1 year in college and had some exceptional skills.
There are several guys that...
Jimmy Graham. There's other guys, too. I understand.
Okay.
So if that's the case, and we know Vic Fangio is the ethos of death by inches. And by the way, and I'm just in the first chapter of this book. I just started it. But they talk about how they need to have their best players be responsible for the little things. So this is the highest level of rugby in the world, okay? These are elite athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of a match, the two captains of the team sweep up the room. Now they tidy things up. They leave their locker room, no matter where they are, in as good, if not better, shape than when they entered there, and they make sure it gets taken care of.
Kind of like the Japanese team did over in the World Cup.
That's right. Good example. And character to them matters in terms of their accountability as a team. So, for example, when they score a try, that's what it's called in rugby, there's no huge celebrations. There's no look at me sort of moments. They celebrate sort of as a team. They do the haka, but the haka is considered a unifying team sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm reading this and I'm thinking of Vic Fangio, Death by Inches, and it was impossible for me not to think of the haircut stuff. And the Halloween party and all this other stuff, which is little. All these little sort of things. But then I'm hearing Vic Fangio talk about death by inches. And I'm like, well, what exactly does that mean? Like, what things are you going to change? And I wonder if this is part of it. Or does it really matter?
When you say this is part of, what do you mean?
Putting a higher emphasis on the character of the guys, knowing they're all great football players, period. In terms of leadership, can really rise an organization up. But I don't know if you can just do that if you're a coach. It seems to be the way the entire organization operates. Like, that needs to come from the very top all the way down. But then there's another part of me, Al, that's just like, listen, that's all great in theory. I get it. But we are talking about pro sports where... You know,
Ask the Colorado Rockies, how did that work when they went with that mantra?
Hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm asking you if you can believe in that or not.
I tell you what, it's like, You know, it's like a trip to the grocery store for me. When I go to the fruit section, I want a little bit of everything. I don't always want grapes. Sometimes I may want plums. Sometimes I may want oranges. I want that. That's the way I want my team. I need some guys to be rock hard and really quiet. And I need some guys to be wild and loose and carefree. I love it all. I love it all. But can't have too many guys that are rock solid, won't say nothing, and just go out there and just be solid, you know, solid NFL player. You need some special guys. You need some special guys. If the quarterback is special, you need less special guys on your team. If the quarterback is special, you don't need to have all of the Hall of Fame talent around him. But until you get that special quarterback, then it's a process. It's a process. I just believe that a football team reflects society for the most part. And however you view it, whatever view that you have, when it's working well, it looks a lot different than just a uniformed look. That's what I believe. And when you start talking about character, you know, sometimes, you know, we talk about this guy, Takarish, I think it's Takarish McKinley, who the other day was arrested and not charged with anything, but admitted to have evaluations done on him psychologically. Now, certainly, if you would have saw the NFL draft and the way that the guy, this is a guy that from a couple years ago went on stage and he had a picture of his grandmother. And he just kept on saying, this is why we do this. This is why we do this. This is why we do this. And you heard him speaking and I'm like, well, what is going on here? Okay. I can see his grandmother may have passed away and he's paying homage to her. And then I just keep hearing him talk. And I'm like, you know what? I recognize that crazy. I've seen that crazy a bunch in the NFL. You know, I know that guy. I know that guy. Didn't really work out. Never really worked out. Good players. We're a little crazy. Mm-mm. You don't want no crazy. You don't want no crazy on your team. If you got somebody on your team that's crazy, man, it could be a volatile situation. You don't want no crazies on your team. Guys who are carefree and, you know, maybe the hair is long or maybe they are, they like to have fun and they like to dance during practice and have, those guys are fine. Crazy? You don't want no crazies.
I made that promise, man. I told her before she passed away, I was going to live my dream. I was going to go D1. I was going to get out of Richmond. I was going to get out of Oakland. I was going to go to the NFL. I made that promise to her, man. 30 seconds later, she passed away. And this is what I do it for. This is what I do it for, man. Come on, man. Damn. Get to the damn quarterback. We don't get to the quarterback.
See, that's a little crazy.
That's a red flag.
Hey, man, to me.
Who drafted him?
The Atlanta Falcons. First round draft pick.
Terrifying to me if
and
I heard that.
And he is a straight up baller.
I was going to live my dreams, play the NFL. And I'm here, man. I completed the promise. That means everything to me. Excuse my language. Man, find me later, man. Find me later, man. This means everything to me.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's the guy that you don't want a little crazy on your team. You don't want a little crazy on your team. Mm-hmm. Telling you. You get a little crazy on your team, telling you it could be a big deal. I mean, it could be a big deal. I've seen little crazy escalate to fights so often in locker rooms and on sidelines that it just, you know, you need a guy who's sensible. You need a sensible guy who's tough, knows what the rules are, plays by the rules of the game, and is going to be a good citizen for you. You don't want a little crazy on your team. I'm just letting you know. You don't want it.
You know what moment stood out to me is when Menelik Watson, in a preseason game, asked his girlfriend to marry him during the game.
Totally inappropriate.
And what was most disappointing about this moment wasn't his poor judgment, which it was really poor. It was the way Vance Joseph reacted to it afterwards.
I think Vance Joseph wanted to keep the team aligned to roll in the same direction. Maybe I can guarantee you the conversation, was had. Remember what also happened then? We had players that were actually on the team signing autographs during the game.
So disrespectful.
It was the first time.
It was the first home game. You have teammates who are their lives are on the line out there.
Right. Man, see, and see, so.
And you don't have the courtesy to pay them the respect to stand there and watch them?
Now, that part. See, horrible. you don't like the Menelik Watson.
Oh, I don't like that either.
Okay, you don't like that. But when I saw that there were guys on the sideline signing autographs.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
During the preseason game. And see, and this is why I love Peyton Manning's demeanor as a football player. Did you know that every game that Peyton Manning played, whether he was going to play or not, he dressed in full uniform and he kept all of his stuff together like he was going into the game. And to me, that's just pure respect. Now, when I watched the game, when I was a player and I knew I wasn't going to play, I didn't do the full dress up and all that stuff. I just, hey, look, my pads are off. I'm not putting my pads on. But Peyton actually put his pads on, even knowing that there's no chance that he was going to get in.
Those are the little things, aren't they?
Those are respect factors.
Those are the little things.
But what I always did. Even when I knew that I wasn't going in the game, I would sit there and watch those guys that are playing my same position so that I could tell them what I'm seeing so that I could help them.
Right.
I would help them on game day. I wouldn't share my moves with them, but I would help them on game day and say, look, man, any cross motion, just say something like, hey, look, any cross motion and they run toss away from you, look for the reverse, man. You went straight down the line. They're going to run a reverse to you.
But VJ did not. He could have simply come out and said this without throwing guys under the bus.
Unacceptable.
That's not how we do things here, and that will change. And I'd rather
that would have been great.
But instead, VJ's answer was like, "Oh, yeah, it's all right. I think he cares? It's no big deal."
Once again, I think what was happening there, D-Mac, was that he was trying to win the team.
Wrong way to win the team.
Homeboy, you just won a Super Bowl a year and a half before.
Yeah.
I get it, but let me tell you something. We don't have to worry about that anymore because VJ is down with the Arizona Cardinal. The guy grew into the position. And I think John said as much, we expect for him to grow into the position. And I think that was part of his development. The second year that he was a head coach, he was so much better.
Okay, things to look for, changes. That's the death by inches. Character over talent. The team matters more than the individual.
The team matters more than the individual all the time.
The veterans.
All the time.
The veterans need to be the most accountable for things rather than just pile on the young guys.
I would tell you that, the veterans are the cake and the young guys are just the icing.
Can I just tell you this? If they do that stupid haircut thing again with Vic Fangio as the head coach, I'll be disappointed.
Why? It just may be part of their longstanding tradition with the Broncos. If you don't like it, so what?
Oh, I'm just telling you what I'll
be. If you don't like it, so what?
That's death by inches.
That is not. Death by inches.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
In my opinion,
death by inches
is
jumping outside when you know better than jumping outside.
Death by inches is the little things.
No. It's a it's a holding penalty on a toss sweep when you're blocking a cornerback.
It's that too.
Those are the things. Football related things are what we're talking about.
I'm talking about
all of these off the field things that you're talking about don't mean crap. And I'm telling you, they don't mean crap. The things that matter in football are the things that happen on the field.
Well, I incredibly respectfully disagree with you.
I'm just telling you
that if you have a sloppy
from my
way
championship moments in college and in pros.
Okay.
The things that you do on the field are the most important things that you can do as a football player.
Mark Schlereth says it's time to move on from Derek Wolfe.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
In yesterday's show, Stokely and Zach, I think Brandon Stokely brought up an interesting point, and I think this is something you have to think about as a Broncos fan going into the kind of the procurement stage of the professional football season where you're picking up free agents, and part of that is you're also letting people go. You're managing your cap. And this is what Brandon Stokley had to say about Derek Wolfe, friend of the program and a guy who's been a really, really good Bronco.
Well, when you look at his numbers, and it's about a $10 million savings, it's hard to ignore that if you're the Denver Broncos. And so I do expect them to move on from Derek Wolfe. Either a significant pay cut and stay here, or they'll just move on from it. Not that he didn't have a good year, but just he's getting up there in age, and they're looking to say spend this money elsewhere. There you go.
And see, I think what he's bringing up, and you and I have talked about this, Mike, a time or two, is I think he's bringing up the fact that this team is rebuilding. This team isn't where it needs to be. This team doesn't have the requisite talent to compete with the teams that are competing right now, the playoff teams in the National Football League. And they realize that. And the odds are by the time, you know, they are ready to compete, Derek Wolfe is going to be past his prime. He's going to be a guy that's not going to be here anymore anyhow. So why not trim the cap? Why not move on from guys like Derek Wolfe and guys like Brandon Marshall and guys like Darian Stewart and guys like Emmanuel Sanders? It's about managing your cap and understanding where you are in life. You're a rebuilding football team. So I'd assume that Derek Wolfe probably won't be here next year. And the bottom line is, you know, he'll be playing for somebody else. So that part is sad, but that's the reality of playing football. And Wolfe will probably not get his cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.